In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church. We are glad you're here with us. I see a number of visitors here this morning, and we're particularly glad you're here with us as the comings and goings of summer definitely are hitting us in this time. Please take time to sign the welcome pads that you'll find at the inside aisle and pass it down the pew, so and sharing any information that you would like us to have. If you would like to be on our weekly Providence Publicist emailing list, we can keep you up to date with what's happening from week to week here in this congregation. Please also plan to join us for a time of fellowship in the Hope Room immediately behind the sanctuary after the worship service, where we may greet you in person during that time. We are winding down our summer of Tuesday evening barbecues on this Tuesday, as there are just two left for the season. The barbecue will be hosted by the Bays and the Harrisons, and it's a wonderful opportunity to meet our neighbors and to meet and talk to one another in a very informal, unprogrammed way. From 6 to 8 on Tuesdays, you'll find the details in the bulletin, and you may bring a side dish to share or put a few dollars in to contribute towards the food. But all are welcome, family, friends, neighbors, everybody. Next Sunday after worship, in conjunction with the Rhode Island Organizing Project, we will be having one of our periodic conversations that talking about issues around caregiving for senior citizens. So if you would like to be part of that, we would welcome you to participate in that from 11:30 till 1. Those of you who've been part of it before have seen the very structured way that we look to explore the issues that are confronting seniors, and particularly this time, caregivers, of which there are many in our congregation working with seniors in this time. All are welcome. You can talk to me for more information about that if you would like, or Dorothy Lusignan as well, in the yellow. Can also answer your questions. We will be sharing with you a flyer of ways you can be concretely involved in it, but on September 20th, we hope you all have on your calendar the Jamboree for Zambia benefit concert that we will be hosting here. And we, Sherry Marks with the worship band, has asked me particularly to announce that if there are musicians that would be willing to work with the worship band that night to help present what they're going to be doing, please be in touch with Sherry. She's definitely in need of instrumentalists in this time.
We do not have PowerPoint this morning, so you'll have to rely upon your bulletins. But I did want to let you know I've made a couple of changes. One I made a few weeks ago, and that was in the doxology. I went back to different words that you might have had a long time ago, and they are in the bulletin. I changed because the one we had been using says, Lord, 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 or God, God, God. And I believe that our doxology needs to be Trinitarian. We need to show that we have a God, a Son, and a Spirit. And so that's why I have chosen to choose that. I didn't choose it just to confuse you and upset you by changing your worship service. I really didn't. I know it's disturbing when things change. However, I didn't do it for that reason. And as we approach the visit of Dr. Chalinje and the Jamboree for Zambia, I'll get it out in a minute, I thought it would be fun if we would bring in some different kinds of music. And so this morning our opening hymn is a processional hymn that would be used in Zimbabwe. And so you're going to find it in this little book that we have. And it is Uye Imose Tinamate Mwari. And don't worry if you can't pronounce it. None of us speak this language to begin with, so we'll just do the best we can. We'll sing it with spirit and with joy. The Ghana Choir is going to help us by singing it one time through. We'll hear it on the piano one time, then we'll hear it by the Ghana Choir one time, and then we'll sing it all, at least, it's listed in the bulletin, in case you can't remember. We'll sing it twice, and then once in English. Also, there's another change, which is new today. We've been having our prayer of confession, a song of confession, and then we've had the assurance of pardon. Some of you, if you'll reach way back in your memories, you'll remember a day back in the long, dark ages ago where we sang the Gloria Patri after our assurance of pardon. What I have done this morning is to choose to go back and reclaim the idea of why we sang the Gloria Patri, which is to rejoice and be thankful that God has loved us and forgiven us. And so this morning we're going to sing not the confessional hymn, but we're going to sing a hymn of response to the assurance of pardon to show our joy. It's a very jubilant song called Halle, Halle, Hallelujah. And so you have sung it before, but perhaps not in response to the assurance of pardon. So that's an overview of the quick changes I'm going to make. And I just came back from the Multicultural Church Conference in Texas last week, or week before last. And so you're going to get all this new stuff, all these new ideas. So here we go.
Let us then prepare to worship God. We come from around the globe to worship God.
From Kenya, Ghana, Liberia.
From Korea, Singapore, Japan.
From Russia, Puerto Rico, the United States.
We come from mainstream society.
From the margins.
We are the family of God.
How very good and pleasant it is
when kindred love together in unity. Come. All you people, come and praise the Lord.
Thank you.
In returning to God, we find mercy. Let us accept the promise of forgiveness in our Lord Jesus Christ and turn to God as we confess our sin and brokenness in this time of prayer. Continuing in prayer, forgive me that I have not loved enough. Forgive me so that I can love you and others, no matter what their sins may be. Forgive me that I have not fully believed in the possibility and power of forgiveness. Forgive me so that I can forgive others and myself. Amen. Friends, this is the good news that we have received. God came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Christ. Let us celebrate that good news and live as if we believe it. Thanks be to God.
Time during which we share our joys and concerns as a congregation. Anybody wants to share?
I have a joy. Today is my birthday.
Oh, I have a concern and a joy. The concern is for my friend Wendy, who I mentioned a few weeks ago had an abnormal mammogram, and unfortunately they found out that it was breast cancer. So prayers for her as they're trying to figure out what exactly the diagnosis is and what the treatment is going to be. But I have a joy as well. I'm getting ready to fly to Ohio this next weekend for the wedding of the son of one of my best friends. So prayers for Carrie and Carol as they prepare for their wedding next week.
Gina is out today, but today is our 12th wedding anniversary, so Joyce.
Joyce.
I've been traveling a lot, and I just want to say thanks for your prayers, and praise God for that. Dylan and I were visiting my father in Switzerland, which was a really nice visit, and I've been out kind of networking for a beautiful day, looking for support and in different ways, and I'm thankful for God's help with that. And I have a few pretty important meetings coming up with Beautiful Day this week. I'd love your prayers. We try to figure out how to move forward, especially with our finances.
And we'd love your prayers for Julia as she leaves for college on Thursday at Tufts, and Jamie leaves for college for her sophomore year next weekend. So we'd love prayers for our family. Thanks.
Good morning. I'd also like prayers as I start my first year of college on Thursday.
I have a couple of concerns. One is what's going on in Missouri. I can't seem to remember the name of the town, even though I've heard it.
Ferguson.
Thank you. It wasn't even close. Our community of color here is kind of riled up about what's been going on, and just reinforces fears that people have, especially about keeping their Black and Latino sons safe in the community. It's very hard on everybody to see this going on. My second concern is that the story of the refugees at the border seems to have totally disappeared with all this other stuff going on, and Congress just going ahead and taking a break and not dealing with the problems there. I don't know specifically what's going on, but I think we should hold that situation in our prayers also. Thank you.
Continued prayers for Walter.
Continued prayers for us as Andrew, Malika and Andrew's wedding is here this coming Saturday as the family travels to New York to celebrate the wedding. And we ask for God's blessings for everything that takes place.
I have a couple joys. We celebrated a wedding this weekend of the son of good friends of ours, so I would pray for Katie and Justin Costa that they would have a wonderful and strong life together. And also, it's every parent's dream that their child would embrace a love of God. And, you know, our son is an elder at the Barrington Presbyterian Church, and their pastor is on vacation. And so this morning, he's one of three people that's bringing the message. I'm sure he's scared to death.
My political prayers, as you know, are always their own wandering message. So here's the connected concern and how to pray for it. I think. We often end prayers with, you know, if it's God's will. And in that way, we could sort of not bother praying, because if it's God's will, then why bother praying? Because what's going to happen is going to happen. On the other hand, we're believing folk, and we think that we have some action and some voice in what might happen. So there's the Israel-Gaza deal. And we could just pray for peace, which I think we need, but I think we also need to examine ourselves for what the bigger picture is that underlies that conflict. And that's not an easy one to sort out. And I've been doing some sorting over the last couple of years, and have come down in a place that's very, very different from where it was before. So I guess prayer number one, and there's a connection here with prayer number two, is that we all reflect as we can on that issue. Because I think what we think ultimately gets reflected in what our government does. The second thing, and connected in a way, is radical Islam versus Islam. And that's been an issue for a long, long time, and particularly it's been an issue since September 11th, 2001. That puppy, I think, is also a difficult one to sort out, because we could edge very quickly into looking like we're having a war against Islam as we look at some of the really bad actors within Islam, who are the radical Muslims. And I think it's hard not to acknowledge that they're radical Muslims, and then, of course, what to do about it. We have to be very, very careful, and I don't just mean the U.S., but the world community, that we don't turn this into a religious war against Islam and actually shift moderate Muslims into the arms of the radical Muslims and then make a worse mess. So I think we have to pray for reflection about those things as we try to all sort them out individually and communally.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we know that you love all your people. And we see glimmers of your grace and mercy in our world around us, and we give thanks for those blessings. We pray for those who are working hard in these days to discern and bring peace, justice, and true well-being to your people near and far. Help us to be a people of faith who reflect deeply and carefully on our world situation and the complexities, and avoid the temptation to oversimplify. We pray for those places in our world who are caught up in turmoil and war, in Iraq and Gaza, in Ferguson. Lord, we have so far to go to live in grace and respect for all your people. We pray for those situations in our world and in our own country which too often slip from today's headlines, but are yet a big issue. For refugees and children at the border, for refugees seeking to make their way in a country that is so different from what they have known. We rejoice this morning to be able to celebrate Angelina's birthday here, her 19th birthday here, reunited with her mother for the first time on her birthday in many years. You tell us, O Lord, that perfect love casts out fear, that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And yet, it is so hard to see that at times in our world. Help us to be a people of love, reaching for your light, which is the love which overcame the world. We thank you, then, this day for the blessings of our lives and our joys, for times of refreshment and renewal in these summer days, from many, many weddings in these weekends of summer. We pray for Andrew and Malika next weekend, for Judy as she travels for Harry and Carol's wedding, for the celebration this weekend of Katie and Justin with the Lockharts. We thank you for the 12th anniversary of Gina and Dave and the energy that they have brought to this congregation through all of those years. We thank you, O God, for opportunities to travel and see new perspectives. And we pray in thanksgiving to welcome Keith back here as we pray for the continuing work of Beautiful Day with refugees in our midst and the path ahead. We lift our prayers, O God, this day for those facing difficulties in illness, in body, mind, and spirit, named and unnamed. We pray for the healing of your presence in and through all things, no matter at what stage of life. We pray for Walter as he nears the end of his life, for each day, for Judy who walks that journey with him, for Wendy in the road ahead of diagnosis and treatment. We pray, O Lord, this day for grief, for those who grieve, for the Wadia family, for Jalila in the death of her sister Naila. Comfort them as they are here apart in a foreign land. We pray for Colette's family in this time of loss as well. As we all move through this transition time of season, of summer, and new beginnings with fall ahead, we pray for your spirit to be with Julia and Jamie as they are leaving us for college, to be with our search committee in these days of discernment on permanent pastoral leadership. We pray for those who struggle towards meaningful work in periods of long unemployment, and for those who are seeking housing. Help us to be accompaniers on that journey in a community of encouragement. We thank you, O God, for your promptings to us to reach deeply into our hearts and minds and think carefully and then act in mission. Guide us ever in your ways, that this world, this community, might be a place of safety for all your peoples. We pray particularly for our teachers, students, and schools readying for the fall, those new to positions here, and for all those in transition. We thank you for opportunities that Cubby has to begin new studies in college, and pray for him as he begins that work. For Jeffrey, as he is given words to speak in sermon this morning. Remind us, O God, that you are ever with us in all times and circumstances. We turn to you through the power of our Lord who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
It is time for the children to come forward. Good morning, everybody. Do you all say prayers? Do you say prayers? When do you say prayers?
At home.
At home? One at a time. At night. Ben? Any other times? Okay. And what do we do here at church? Yeah, we pray here too, don't we? We pray here too. Yes. So, and we pray to
God.
Right. Yes. And
So now we're going to pray. We pray to God, right? Why don't you... Yes. Now we pray for all kinds of people. I don't know if you were just listening, right?
Because last time he died.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, okay, we're going to pray. We pray for all kinds of people, right?
We were making mistakes.
Yes.
I thought we were making mistakes.
Yeah. Yes, but we ask to be forgiven because we do bad things too.
Everyone else will
be. Yes. Now we're going to guess how many, think how many different people we can pray for. I have some cards here, people we could pray for. Okay? Yes. Okay, now these are some people we could pray for. I don't know if those of you who can read, people who are hungry. That's right. We can pray for people who are hungry. Yes, and we can pray for people who are sick. Here's one. We can pray for people who are in Iraq. Yes, that's one you can understand, isn't it? Yes, because she has relatives in Iraq. No more? Are they all here now? But you came from Iraq, didn't you? Yeah. Okay, and then, oh, I've got all kinds of them in here. Oh, this is another one. People in Korea.
I remember Korea.
Yeah, do you remember Korea? You know about Korea? Okay. Yes. Now, this is for a specific person we could pray for.
President Obama.
Yeah, we can pray for our leaders, too. Okay?
You mean the president?
Yes. Uh-huh. I have all kinds of people here we could pray for. People in Palestine and in Israel, for grandmothers and grandfathers and mothers and fathers. Who else can we pray for? Sisters and brothers, baby brothers, people who have cancer. Oh, you have lots of good ideas. Okay, so everybody, I have something I'd like you to do this week. I want everybody to take one of these cards out of the basket, and your job this week is to pray for whoever, whatever country is on that card. So just take one. Everybody's going to have something different. Everybody's going to have something different on their card. Yeah. Okay.
People in Korea.
Yeah.
What's this?
That says people in Ghana. That's a country in Africa.
Where?
Okay, you get what you get. Don't try to pick. Don't try to pick.
Get what you get and yep. You don't get
upset. No. You didn't get one, did you?
What was that word again?
Ghana. Okay, no. Now what you need to do when you go home is, yes, but you ask your mom and dad to help you out to understand about these places. If you got a country like Ghana or Iraq or somebody you don't know who it is, then maybe your parents can help you learn to pray for these other places and people, okay? Let's pray together. Sometimes, God, it's hard for us to always pray. Help us to pray for even people we don't know. Amen.
Good morning. Please let us pray. Oh God, by your Spirit, tell us what we need to hear and show us what we ought to do to obey Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our first lesson will be taken from Romans chapter 11, verse 1 to 2a, continue from 29 to 32. And it can be found on the Pew Bible 115 and the Large Print Bible 195. I ask, then, has Jesus rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Verse 29-32. For the gift and the calling of God are irrevocable, just as you were once disobedient to God but have now received mercy because of their disobedience. So they have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be. Our second lesson will be taken from Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 to 28, and it can be also found in the Pew Bible 16 and large print, page 20. Jesus left the place and went away to the desert of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away for us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was.
Thanks be to God. Those disturbing ones that we read, "Lord, have mercy." And Jesus ignores her.
To my recollection, it's the only time that Jesus actually ignores someone to swallow. This isn't the Jesus we like to remember or think of why it happened. Well, that's what I've worked on all week, and I don't think I arrived there. However, I have thought about this story. And so as I look at this story, I think about Jesus and his disciples, for whatever, are walking into Tyre and Sidon. It is called, in probably the Jewish terms of that time, for good people go. It is a land inhabited by the unbelievers of Jesus' time. The poor disciples are going along with Jesus because that's what they always do. But as they're walking through Tyre and Sidon, what's going to happen here in this world of people we're not supposed to be around? So they're walking through this city, and probably what we might feel if we're walking down a dark alley in the inner city about 2 a.m. Have mercy on me, son of David is possessed by a demon. Well, we know Peter's always one to be quick to think and to speak, so he's probably muttering under his breath, yeah, I bet you all are too. Respond to this woman, these disciples of relief. And they are wishing, they don't want to deal with these people here. And in fact, they tell Jesus, why don't you tell this woman to go away and leave us alone? Jesus says, I have been sent only for the children of the house. Now, we don't know for sure what matter, because whether she heard him or not, she's not done yet. She falls on her knees, Pastor Jim told us about last week. Help me. And yet, Jesus is still not moved. The greatest insult possible. These trusted sweet little pets that we know. And so she is compared to a dog. And now there are some commentators who will say, well, the word used is really a puppy. Oh, I'm sorry. He's basically calling her a mongrel. The woman kind of meets him exactly where he is. Okay, maybe I am a dog. But even the dogs get the crumbs from under the table, don't they? He has an aha. He sees faith that she daughter who is possessed by a demon. And Jesus is moved on the margin to reach out to and help. The story is only 8 verses long, and our gospel writer doesn't give us a very good explanation. You know, sometimes we have this little explanation, but we don't get any of that in this story. We have to exactly what it means. Just what we have in these verses. It suggests that Jesus has had a very only for the house of Israel. Take at face value on this story is that Jesus or to even accept. But Jesus to be a Canaanite group of people. People of Israel into this new land that was occupied by the Canaanites. And the people have been ordered, do not marry these people into their practices. Do not mix with them. That's what Jesus grew up hearing. One comes approaching him, he is bound to fall into the training that he has grown up with, which says, no, sin. I would suggest a set of values by his environment to see things in a certain way, that it is not necessarily sinful, but that he has not been exposed to have a human foible. He knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, God, please let this cup pass from me, if it be your will. Excuse me, Steve. And yet, literally suffered pain. He bled. He was a flesh. So of course, if we accept that Jesus was truly human. Now if he's truly, I suggest horrible city of Sodom. See that city destroyed. So he has the nerve. God, would you destroy that city if there are 50 good, righteous men in that city? And God says, well, if they're 50, I guess 40. How about that? Well, I guess me. And Abraham finally gets him down to, God was going to destroy that city. God does. But God does allow for the possibility if there are 10 right here. Nineveh saved, and he doesn't do a very good job of preaching. And then he goes, 40 days and Nineveh will be no more, and disappears. And when God sent, Jonah pouts. Because he heard to Jonah that whatever God creates, God detroit. So it's not just, only they will do such and such. I will change my mind and not do what I planned. Changes God's mind. So why can't Jesus change his mind about this Canaanite? And I believe that when we look at this story of the Canaanites being smacked in the face, to question our own values, our own sense, all these concerns, reason or another. 50 fascinated, there are still young men being shot on the 50 years later. We can look around the world and there are people being deprived of their basic human rights. Ended up and forced to convert borders, leaving only wanting a chance to grow. These are the people of the margins. That these people, aware of all of these people. And I believe we have a call to advocate for the people full, rich, live, and not have to wait. Let us pray. Oh God, help us to get out of our comfort zones and see and in advocacy might live the full lives intended for all people.
There was a supreme crisis in the life of humankind.
Became personal crisis and present hope for women named and believed. In this experience, in faith, repentance, and obedience, and the new life takes shape in the community they are. They are others, knowing that no one has any ground.
Giving thanks to God who has richly blessed us in light and offerings.
Thank you.
freely ask or assume, as it is in heaven. Amen.
All people.